Are you ready to talk baseball? Well, step up to the plate. You're listening to Passion for the Pastime. And here's your host, Walter.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? And welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime podcast. I'm your host, Walter. Hope you're doing well, staying safe, and of course, being healthy out there. On this episode of the podcast, we will be speaking with Bay Area News Group beat writer for the San Francisco Giants, Mr. Kerry Crowley. It is always a pleasure to have Kerry on the show for a record third time. We're going to talk to Kerry Crowley about these San Francisco Giants. They're going through a rough point in the season right now. But it's September 1st. I'm recording on a Wednesday. It is September, folks. Giants still in first place. It's still a good day. By the time you listen to this, maybe they're not. Maybe they're half a game behind. But we're not going to have any of those negative thoughts here on the podcast. But we're going to talk with Kerry in a little bit to talk to him about the Giants and what their current state is. The starting rotation is a big concern for everyone. And they have the Dodgers coming to town. So it is a huge weekend for the San Francisco Giants and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We're going to get into that. But first, before we get into San Francisco Giants talk with Kerry Crowley coming up, Bay Area News Group, before we get into that, let's head on over to the East Coast real quick. Because in New York is a special place. I love New York. All right, I love to vacation there. I haven't been to New York in maybe 2 years. Maybe it was sooner. I think it might have been 2 or 3 years. I love going every single time I go. I want to say the last time I went was 2019 was the last time I went to New York. Love it there. If I didn't live here, I'd probably live there. I'd probably move across country. But the one thing that I don't know if I could ever get down with is the New York fans. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you how to be a fan, because you do what you need to do. You do you, boo-boo, okay? That's all I'm going to say. You do what you need to do to show your fandom. But let me just say, New York fans are a special breed. They are different. Their expectations are way higher. They're more uptight. I would say that. But man, I don't think myself, I speak for myself, and I'm not telling anyone how to be a fan at all. But I don't think I would ever boo one of my own. Sure, do I boo at the games? Of course I do. Do I chant, "You're a bum," in the left field bleachers? You bet your ass I do. But that's different. I'm not doing that to my own guys out there. I'm not doing that to Alex Dickerson as he's in left field. You'd never see that in San Francisco. I can't remember the last time that ever occurred in San Francisco. And there may have been times, but I just don't ever remember that happening with the Giants fan base, with a lot of fan bases. Don't usually see it. And they did it to their own, Mr. Javier Baez in New York for the Mets. And rightfully so. I mean, the whole situation, I'm not taking sides. I'm not going to pick, you know, the fans. I'm not going to pick Javier Baez. I'm not going to do any of that. But he goes and does the thumbs down because he pretty much said, hey, you know what? I'm doing that towards the fans because they boo us when we're not doing good. So I'll give a thumbs down when we're doing good. The paraphrase. That's not exactly what Javier Baez said, but that's the gist of it. So, I mean, he kind of had it coming. I'm not trying to justify it at all. I'm just saying, you call out one of the most grueling fan bases I'm not even sure if it's the Mets. It's just New York in general. Their fans are insane. In a good way. They're passionate. Let me take away the insane card. They're passionate. They are a passionate group of people. I admire that to an extent. But New York is a different place. And essentially what Javier Baez did was poke the bear, is essentially what he did. But you know what's even funnier about this whole situation? What's even funnier about Javier Baez getting booed? I was watching the game on Tuesday night, or Tuesday afternoon, but Tuesday night in New York. Watching the game. Javier Baez comes up. I think it might be his first or second at bat. Boos like crazy. You would think he was the enemy. You would think that he was on the Phillies or something. Like, it sounded like he was in hostile territory. You wouldn't have thought that Javier Baez was playing at home. Everyone in attendance was booing Javier Baez. Kids, children, toddlers, infants. I saw a baby doing a thumbs down, all right? Everyone was giving the thumbs down, booing Javier Baez when he would come up to bat. Then we get to the ninth inning. Things get interesting. I think they're down two runs. Maybe just a run. No, I think they're down two runs. Anyways, they're down. Javier Baez comes up. The stage is set. Men on base. And I believe he gets plunked. I don't think they cheered when he got hit. So kudos to the Yankees or to the Mets fans. But he gets on base. Next guy up, Conforto, hits it down the line. Javier Baez is running for his life. I don't think I've ever seen him run that fast. And he looked determined. He ran through the stop sign. He was not stopping at all. On a ground ball to left field, he was not stopping. Left fielder bobbled it. Good for Javier. He was going through the sign anyway. He was not stopping. And he made it home to win the game. Walk-off fashion. Javier freaking Baez. And what do the Mets fans do? They turn their thumbs back up. They're giving them the thumbs up, Javier Baez. And they're cheering. New York doesn't deserve you, Javier. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But man, it was funny. Everyone had, and it was comical almost. They all had their thumbs up cheering Javier Baez. Javier, he's on the field. He's celebrating with his team. I don't think he acknowledged the fans at all. But what a way to finish the game after the week that Javier Baez has had in the media. We love the drama. That's what it is. We love the drama. Javier Baez, I think it's safe to say, maybe not. Maybe he is going to stay in New York, but I think with this recent turn of events, with him calling out the fans, I don't think he's coming back to New York. I don't think he's going to be a Met next year. Maybe he'll be a Yankee, but you think calling out Mets fans are bad? Wait till you do it to the Yankee fans. Yankee fans are 10 times worse than the Mets. I know it's still New York, but it's a different breed with Yankee fans. By the way, shout out to the Yankees, man. They won like 13 in a row out of nowhere. Everyone thought they were out. I think I talked to Christy Ackert about a month ago, like trade deadline. And we were talking as if the Yankees were out of it. Like, whatever move they make, will it be enough to even make a splash to get into the postseason? It did not. It didn't look good for the Yankees a month ago. Now they're in that wild card spot. And they're not too far off from the division. Maybe it's a little too far. I think it's five games from the Rays. I don't know how many times the Rays and the Yankees play. But the fact that they did that is amazing. They won 13 in a row, first time since 1961 that a Yankee team has done that. You know what the Yankees did in 1961? They won the World Series. Not saying that that's going to happen. I'm just giving you the facts. Just giving you the stats on what has occurred in New York. But I think that's enough of the New York talk. We want to talk to Mr. Kerry Crowley of Bay Area News Group, beat writer for the San Francisco Giants, because while all that drama is going on the East Coast, we have our own drama here in the Bay Area. And it's going to get very, very interesting in the month of September, especially this weekend, because guess who's in town? The big bad LA Dodgers. So coming up next, we're talking with Kerry Crowley of Bay Area News Group's beat writer for the San Francisco Giants. You are listening to Passion for the Pastime Podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of Passion for the Pastime Podcast. Your host, Walter, here. Now, we're going to be talking some San Francisco Giants baseball, and I'd like to welcome back for a record third time on the podcast, Mr. Kerry Crowley of Bay Area News Group. Kerry, how you doing today?
Doing well, Walter. Looking forward to another conversation. Happy to be setting a record here. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, we like to set records here on the podcast. I appreciate you coming by. Brandon Belt, by the way, breaking a record of his own, a milestone, 20th home run. Who would have thought?
Yeah, and it only added to the absurdity that was Belt's bunt attempt on a two-strike pitch in the fourth inning of Monday's game for the Giants, or Tuesday's game for the Giants, I should say, against Brandon Woodruff. 1-2 count, he goes to bunt, pops it up, foul, so he's out. And then next at bat, 0-2 count against Woodruff, and he drives the ball out for his 20th home run of the season. Guy's hitting the ball as well as he ever has in his Giants career, and they could really use him as a number of veterans are struggling right now. Walter, Brandon Belt's got to be a guy who can carry this offense in the month of September.
Give him the contract now, right, Kerry? Just sign him, bring him back for next year.
Yeah, I think 50% of Giants fans would agree with you, and 50% would say no way, and that's the way it's been through Belt's career.
That is how it is, and I would say that I teeter-totter between the 50%. I would have to say that for sure. But Brandon Belt, one of the better Giants, you know, that is swinging the bat right now. They have a lot of issues going on. We're going to talk about all that coming up. But Kerry, you know, when you're not taking on the Giants beat writer duties, you know, you're out there, you're in an adult kickball league, aren't you? And you're out there doing flag football and all that kind of stuff. Have you ever been booed while you've participated in those activities?
Booed? No, but I have been told a lot worse by my opponents, that's for sure. So I haven't dealt with Javi Baez has dealt with, but I have dealt with some people who definitely never want to be on the same recreational kickball field as me again.
Oh man, Kerry. So you were in New York, right? I mean, how was the fanfare? I mean, we all know how the fanfare gets in New York, but was it as bad as what it is the last couple of days, or how was that experience?
Well, it was trending in that direction is what I would say. The Giants exposed the Mets a little bit, 3-game sweep at Citi Field. You know, some of the Mets' best players, Javi Baez, Francisco Lindor, didn't play that well. And I think that fans were really frustrated with Luis Rojas, the manager of the Mets, for some of the decisions that he made that ultimately cost the Mets an opportunity to win a few baseball games against the Giants. And so you started to hear the boos. You started to hear you know, a lot of criticism for the Mets when the Giants were back in New York. And I think that the Giants kind of got out of town right at the time when Mets fans were really starting to express their frustration with the team. So from what happened over the past few days with Javi Baez and the players and the thumbs down stuff, I wouldn't say any of that really surprised me, because you could sense the tension in that building between the fans and the players.
Now, in San Francisco, I mean, can you recall a time where San Francisco fans booed one of their own? I can't. I can't really think of anything.
There have been times where the team has been booed after bad plays, but I don't think any specific players come to mind as, you know, they've been booed for a bad outing or, you know, another strikeout or something like that. It doesn't really ring a bell to me. And maybe it happened during that 98 loss season back in 2017, but it's just hard for me to pick something that sticks out in my mind as something that was just more than general boos in the moment and really not harbored over a long-term frustration.
Yeah, the only guy that I can really think of that maybe Giants fans were booing as he was coming off of the mound was maybe Mark Melanson. Maybe that was maybe one of the most recent times. But yeah, again, I mean, it's not a common thing in New York. However, I mean, that may be just how the fan base is. But who do you think is in the wrong? What do you think on the whole situation? Is Baez wrong for doing the thumbs down? Are the Mets fans wrong for booing? Or is it kind of, what do you see on the situation?
Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to be in the position to tell someone how to be a fan or to tell someone, you know, that their view of the team is wrong. I just don't really believe in that. I think we all look at it from a different perspective. I also just come at it from the fact that, like, if I was supporting my favorite team is the Arizona State football team down in Tempe, Arizona. I can't imagine going to a game and booing those guys. I don't know if it's, you know, just going through my career as a sports writer and kind of understanding some of the behind the scenes stuff that I've been fortunate to be privy to and to see some of the work ethic that goes into just getting out there on the field. I just can't ever see myself booing. And so I don't know, you know, I love the idea of booing your opponent. I love the idea of trying to get in your opponent's head. If you're a fan, I love the idea of the guy sitting behind the dugout, razzing the other team. I don't know that it's very constructive to boo your own team, but at the same time, how constructive can it be for Javi Baez to go after the fan base? I mean, they're paying for tickets. They're paying to support this team. They've been doing it for years, and now they see the team go into a real rut. And so I don't know. I definitely see both sides here, and I'm just not going to be the person who says there's a wrong way to be a fan.
Right. No, I totally agree, Kerry. And Baez, I mean, almost – To me, anyway, I think he cemented his way out of New York. I don't think he's coming back, but we'll see what happens with Baez and all that situation. Giants are long gone from New York. We don't have to deal with them. Are they coming up? We don't play them anymore, right? That's it.
No, that is it. Yeah, the one team on that road trip who is coming back to Oracle Park is the Atlanta Braves. And that'll be in mid-September.
Yeah, well, hopefully Atlanta can take care of things down south for the next day we're recording on Wednesday. They're playing the Dodgers tonight. Hopefully they can take care of something because the NL West race is it's making me a little nervous, Kerry. Should Giants fans be a little worried right now?
I mean, it's been a remarkable season. The Giants can win 100 games. You can't really control what the Dodgers do. With that being said, if you're nervous about the possibility of a one-game wild card scenario and this team, you know, having its season end abruptly, then yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, players will focus on the present, but it's okay for fans to peek at the scoreboard and watch and hope the Dodgers lose on a nightly basis. I just wouldn't expect that to happen a whole lot. That Dodgers team is loaded. They got Trey Turner. They got Max Scherzer. All those guys who fill out that lineup, they look like they should score 10 runs a night. In my vantage point, they have underachieved this season. Well, the Giants have overachieved. It's remarkable that September 1st, we're having this conversation with the Giants are still half a game ahead of LA. I wouldn't have put it within 10 games of the Dodgers on September 1st, yet the Giants have played so well this year and the last few days notwithstanding. And I just think that, if watching the standings and worrying about first place is your natural state, then yes, absolutely, because these Dodgers are not going to slump anytime soon.
Yeah, I'm a nervous wreck right now, Kerry. I was watching the Giants last night and was hoping for a rally, but I know it was unrealistic. But then I also turned on MLB app. I just turned it on right as Corey Seager got that double to score Mookie Betts from first base, and I was livid. that's how my night went. It's pretty rough, but yeah, they're going into it. I mean, it's not over. Giants fans need to remember they still have this big series coming up against the Dodgers. But before we get into that, we're talking with Kerry Crowley of Bay Area News Group, beat writer for the San Francisco Giants. Before we get into the Dodgers series, let's talk about the Giants a little bit more because they've been hit with COVID recently with Alex Wood. I believe, is Donovan Solano still on the shelf?
He is, yes.
What are the timetables for their return? I know it's kind of hard to it's a case by case basis, but what do you know of the protocols as far as a positive test from Alex Wood? What would you say is the timetable?
So it's a minimum of 10 days for each player to be out with COVID-19, and that's assuming they're feeling better, testing negative, and completely ready to go by the end of that 10th day. So I think we're looking more about like a 2-week timeline for each player if all things go according to plan. And, you know, as of Tuesday at Oracle Park, it had been 5 days, and Gabe Kapler said that Donovan Solano was still experiencing minor symptoms. Alex Wood was still very much under the weather. So really just hard for the Giants to project at this point. And I just don't know that, what the timelines can specifically be. But I think that instead of 10 days, thinking about it as two and a half weeks is a little bit more realistic.
So the Giants, in a corresponding move, they bring in Jose Quintana from the Angels. What do you think will be his role? Did they bring him in as a long guy, or is he going to be slotted into that rotation given the current state of the rotation? They're kind of going through a rut right now.
Yeah, I think that the Giants in September are going to look different than the Giants at the first 4 months of the season because their pitching depth has been depleted. And so how will they look different? I think they're going to look a lot more like the Tampa Bay Rays over the last few seasons, where you've got maybe 7, 8, 9 guys who can give you 4 innings at a time. And then, you know, the rest of the staff, 5 or 6 guys, is going to be able to give you 1 to 2 innings at a time. And the Giants are going to really piece things on a day-to-day basis. You know, Anthony DeSclafani, Sammy Long are matched up to kind of piggyback right now. The Giants could bring up Kervin Castro, the 22-year-old who's been at Triple-A all season, throwing 2 to 3 innings at a time. He could join that crew. Jose Quintana, 3 innings at a time. That's what the Giants are going to depend on him for, one time through the order. Quite frankly, when Alex Wood gets back, it wouldn't be such a bad idea for him to turn into a 3 to 4 inning guy. And so outside of Kevin Gausman and Logan Webb, I do think that that's what the Giants are looking at. It's about getting 7 to 8 guys they can stretch out. And then the rest of the bullpen, you know, Harleen Garcia is a guy who can give you 2 to 3 innings. Zach Littell, 2 to 3 innings. Jose Alvarez, 2 innings. So it's going to be fascinating to watch the way that Gabe Kapler deploys his pitchers. And that's something that I'm going to be following very, very closely over the next month.
Right, because that's always been a question when it comes to Gabe Kapler, how he manages the bullpen and moving through these this next month. I mean, it's going to be a grueling task, so it's going to be interesting to see how Kapler manages all of that. But we're talking with Kerry Crowley of the Bay Area News Group, San Francisco Giants beat writer. Now, let's get into the big series here. I mean, they're still, as we're talking right now, we're recording on Wednesday, they still have to deal with the Brewers, which, I mean, we could go into this weekend series against the Dodgers behind. It could be tied. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen in the next couple of days. But going into this series, how does it line up for the Dodgers and the Giants? I know, I want to say it's Urias and Buehler. Is Scherzer going to be in that mix too?
It doesn't seem like Max Scherzer is going to pitch. He's supposed to throw Wednesday night at Dodger Stadium, so I don't see the Giants facing him. So probably be a bullpen day for the Dodgers on Friday.
Okay. So how do they stack up, the Giants and the Dodgers? I mean, we know the lineup that the Dodgers have. We know those struggles of the Giants. Do they stand a chance, Kerry? I guess is what my question is.
Yeah, of course. I mean, they're 8-8 against each other this season through 16 games. There's been games where the Dodgers have been depleted from a depth standpoint. There's been games where the Giants have been depleted from a depth standpoint. I think these two teams actually match up in very interesting ways. Head-to-head, I give the talent edge to the Dodgers, but the Giants have certainly proven that they can play them and they can beat them this season. And, you know, you get into a 5-game series like the NLDS, one team takes 3, the other team takes 2. The team that takes 2 is going home. And I don't think it would shock anyone in this league if the Giants were able to beat the Dodgers in the playoffs, even if they don't beat them this weekend. And so, you know, it's just a matter of getting healthy at the right time. I think that right now the Dodgers are the healthier team in terms of, starting pitching, even though they've had so many starting pitching injuries. Clayton Kershaw's not available. Dustin May, Tony Gonsolin, those guys aren't available. But Max Scherzer's a huge difference maker, and the Giants have Logan Webb. He's been great, but I think that the combination of Scherzer and Buehler, that's really tough to beat right now. And so it's going to be interesting this weekend when the Dodgers don't throw Scherzer but do rely on Buehler on Sunday night.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting series. I'm heading out there on Sunday, so hopefully, I mean, we'll have good news to celebrate at the end of the weekend. But, Kerry, just want to thank you for coming on. Really appreciate it, man. And really quick, I mean, we're talking about this NL race. The race that I want to see, you put out a tweet when you were in Atlanta. You challenged the freeze, man. When are we going to have that happen?
It's looking like 2022 is my best bet. If the freeze doesn't race me by then, I might age out of being able to race the freeze. I don't know that I'll be in such good shape after next season.
Oh, man. I would pay, you know, all these people paying money to see the Paul Brothers box and all that. I would pay good money to see Kerry Crowley take on the freeze, for sure. Pay-per-view.
I'd pay good money to be able to take on the freeze.
All right, Kerry, I appreciate you, man. Take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right, have a good one, Walter.
And again, that was the fantastic Mr. Kerry Crowley, Bay Area News Group beat writer for the San Francisco Giants. Go ahead and give him a follow on Twitter at @KO_Crowley to get all of your up-to-date news on the San Francisco Giants, because it is going to be one hell of a final month, let me tell you that. But they're still taking on the Brewers right now as we speak, where they will also be taking on the Dodgers this weekend. They got a lot of tough baseball ahead of them, but don't stop believing. All right, I'm bringing that back from 2010. Don't stop believing. Cue the Journey song, Don't Stop Believing. But you guys have a good one. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kerry Crowley. I sure did. It's always fun catching up with Kerry. You guys have a good one. Be safe. Catch those baseball games. Like I just mentioned, we have the Dodgers coming to town, and let's beat LA. You guys have a good one. Be safe. And I'll talk to you next time.